Today on Real Radio.
Word comes to David, who has not yet been installed as king, and they're saying, you know what? We're being attacked. You got to help us. Don't you find that interesting? Why didn't they go to Saul? I think you know the answer.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. We're now in chapter 23, which really reveals two apparently unrelated accounts, David's rescue of Keilah, a city in the western foothills of Judah. Then, halfway through the chapter, we're told of another one of Saul's pursuits of David. This guy, boy, I tell you, he just would not give up, even though Saul's son, Jonathan, was loyal to David. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs now in a lesson taken from 1 Samuel chapter 22. It's called When the Lord is in the Lead.
And in 1 Samuel chapter 23, you know that David had come off that wilderness experience in one way where he was alone. And in chapter 22, we learned that God was bringing his family and his brothers to him. And if that wasn't enough, God began to bring to David, who, if you remember, had been already anointed king as a young man, but Saul was occupying the throne, so to speak, in his rebellion against God. So Saul is pursuing David to destroy him out of jealousy and envy. And so David is in the stronghold. He's hiding. And God brings to David 400 motley men. Remember? Men who were absolutely the down and outs of life. Men who could not find any comfort or any reason or hope in Saul's kingdom and found solace and comfort and rest in David's kingdom. Though David was not yet officially occupying the throne, God had a plan. And so God began to do a great work in David's life and in the lives of those men around him. And so this evening we come to the study of when the Lord is in the lead, and what it means, because God is going to be teaching David some things and teaching us some things that when we are oftentimes perceiving ourselves to be ostracized, cut off, desperate, in need, lonely, abandoned, somehow to some degree ripped off by the world or those around us, it's at those times when God often gets our attention. Many of us are Christians tonight because we had, as the old song goes, we had to get knocked flat on our back before we could look up. And so, though David was a man of God, God had great plans for David's life. And so, there was still things of David's life that needed to be molded and shaped and preparing him for the kingship of Israel. Because this king will go on to be the greatest king that Israel has ever known. Well, we're going to see him forming a galvanized group of men together. And I'm thinking right now, you know, as David, we're going to learn a lot about warfare tonight and how to deal with the things of life and how they are a battle. Life is a battle. I began to think if I was a captain, what I would do to lead the men. You're going to be taking them into a region, in an area that most of them, remember, they had not been there before, these guys. 10 or 12 years ago, it was a whole group of different people. But some of the captains and some of the colonels, they were around then. So if you're going to be taking, say, Army or Marines into an area, or an Air Force, or the sailors into an area, and I know many of you have sons and daughters over there right now. If I were a leader, I would want to be able to embolden my people underneath me. I would want to strengthen them. And you can give them the halftime pep talk. And, you know, that lasts for a little bit, the halftime pep talk. And I was thinking as I read this chapter today, I got so excited in putting this message together because, you know what, I think I would take them to the life of David if I were a captain or if I were a colonel today in the Marines or in the Army. I would get the guys together and the girls together and I'd say, hey, listen up, we're going to read right now out of Samuel. We're going to learn what it is to be dependent upon one another and upon God for victory. And we talk a lot about victory as Christians. We ask each other, oh, how you doing? Oh, I'm just fighting the good fight, brother. But what do we mean by that? Do we really understand what we're talking about? Sometimes I wonder. So as we get into this message, it will definitely raise some eyebrows, if not among this group, as this message goes out, and eventually in a couple of weeks it will be heard in the ears of those that are in Europe. And I have people, friends in Europe, they're always quick to write back to me and let me know what they think sometimes. And it's interesting what's going on because of what's happening in Europe, what's happening in America, and how interesting this message this evening has to do with the very condition of where our nation is today. And so I want you to put your thinking cap on, but open the doors of your heart wide that the Lord might minister to all of us, because we're going to be hearing some things tonight about God's divine counsel and His guidance and hearing the voice of God in our lives. Isn't that one of your big passions, is hearing the voice of God in your life? Man, if God would just speak. Hey, listen, I'm convinced that God is always speaking. I'm not always listening. There's times when God gets going or is allowed to get going in my life where He's, in my opinion, talking too much. Lord, I can't write this down fast enough. Lord, wait, pause for a moment. And I just love that. I don't know how you view the Lord, but sometimes I believe that God can get so excited in our lives that He just starts going. And it's times like that when, quite frankly, I just want to just fall. Remember, those of us who are really, you know, old, remember the commercial when we were kids, the Nest, what's it, Nest Cafe, Nest, is it Nest Tea? The Nest Tea Plunge. That guy's just sweating and he just falls into the pool and he's just covered by the water. It's like, oh, man. And they always aired that commercial in the summer. And he's just like, oh, yes, it's so good. Refreshed. But strengthened and encouraged, I would like to get some men together and say, listen, before we go into battle, I want to show you something, what God does when people will lean and be dependent upon Him. And so I think that's a powerful thing as we look to our study tonight. It says here in 1 Samuel chapter 23, beginning at verse 1, it says, "Then the Lord told David, saying, 'Look, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah, and they are robbing the threshing floors.' Therefore, David inquired of the Lord, saying, 'Shall I go and attack these Philistines?' And the Lord said to David, 'Go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah.' And David's men said to him, 'Look, we are afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we go to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?' Then David inquired of the Lord once again, and the Lord answered him and said, 'Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into your hands.' And David and his men went to Keilah and fought the Philistines, struck them with the mighty blow, and took away their livestock. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. Now it happened when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David at Keilah, that he went down with an ephod in his hand, and Saul was told that David had gone to Keilah. So Saul said, 'God has delivered him into my hand, for he has shut himself in by entering a town that has gates and bars.' Then Saul called all the people together for war, to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men." Verses 1 through 8, jot it down if you would. When the Lord is in the lead, or when He's leading us, we know this, number one, that the Lord prepares us for war. The Lord prepares us for war. And I want to just take the time, if it takes us all night or many messages, it's important that we lay the truth down to this. Regarding the Lord preparing us for war, in putting this together, I want to make it extremely clear. As we begin to see a battle unfold before us, you got to understand something. God is working, establishing a king, and God does not tolerate enemies against His people Israel. He will not tolerate it. And when someone attacks Israel, God will go on the defense. And I want you to mark that, because God never sends His nation or nations out into the world just to create a war. He doesn't do that. That's not God's way. And you can read Old Testament accounts. He doesn't do that. There's always a reason of either judgment or of some sort of retribution that God will bring about the enemies of Israel because of something they've done. Keep that in your mind, especially in light of the days and age which you and I live in, because of the way people are talking and thinking about Islam and some other things regarding the violence of it all. Very important. So know this, that when the Lord is leading, number one, in verses 1 through 8, we learn that the Lord prepares us for war. And for most of us, it is in the spiritual context of war. But we'll look at the street, really, on both sides. Note this, if you would. Verse 1, we learn this, that there must be battles in life. That's always the case. There will be battles in life. And we begin to think this evening, yeah, that's always true. Yeah, Jack, right. Always battles. But wait a minute. It says in verse 1, then they told David, saying, look, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah, and they are robbing the threshing floors. What's so big about that? Number one, David's not the king. Who's the king? Saul. Why doesn't Saul go fight these guys? Well, quite frankly, Jesus said regarding Satan and his realm that a house divided against itself cannot stand. And you will rarely ever see Satan's realm warring against itself, because it has a unified enemy. Who is that enemy? God. And what's interesting is Saul is supposed to be the defending king of the nation, and the Philistines have invaded the nation, the people, the kingdom of Israel. Rather than Saul going after the Philistines, word comes to David, who has not yet been installed as king, and they're saying, you know what? We're being attacked. You got to help us. Don't you find that interesting? Why didn't they go to Saul? I think you know the answer. Saul would not have fought the enemy. We have learned over and over again that Saul's a coward. He's in love with himself. He's a legend in his own mind. He's Saul, head and shoulders above all the people, but a coward, afraid. He wants all the glory of kingdom life, but no battles. And yet the people said, God, give us a king like all the other nations, that he may go in and out before us, and that he might, remember, fight our battles. And so God, not wanting an earthly king to be presiding over Israel, yet the people demanding, God gave them their request. God gave them the king that they wanted. David is the king that God wanted, but God has his way of installing his people, installing his kings. And it's interesting to me that they didn't go seek Saul, they went and sought David. These men saw that David would be their defender, because Saul, quite frankly, had failed to protect the nation on numerous occasions. So they come to him and they say, hey, help us out. Now you're going to hear a lot of little innuendos in here tonight, and they're intentionally built in. David is on the rise. Saul had been in power. Saul was to deal with the enemies. He did not. And so another one has to be raised up to take care of the enemies of Israel. Do you understand that? It's called 1 Samuel, 1 and 2 Samuel. There was a previous administration, I just read it this week, that was to deal and made pledges and promises that when a Muslim militant group attacked the World Trade Centers in 1993, it was stated these people would be hunted down and destroyed. And then the Khobar Towers were attacked and blown up and people died. And the statement was made from the White House, these people will be hunted down and destroyed. And then there was the explosion of the embassies in Kenya, and people were killed. And it was said from the White House, these people will be hunted down and destroyed. I read it in quotes this week. There were 8 events. These people will be hunted down and destroyed. And then someone's done the homework to find out how much money was spent under another king, so to speak, to hunt down the enemies of America. And that amount of money spent to hunt down the enemies of America under a previous kingship, like Saul, so to speak, was 1/4 of the amount of money spent in trying to destroy Bill Gates and Microsoft by that same administration. Isn't that interesting? Then God puts another man in office. I don't care how you voted. It didn't matter, did it? God installed a certain guy to be king or president over these nations right now, over these states, I should say, for this nation. And all of the stuff that's going on in the way of violence and the way of war on terror is something that's been inherited. It's just that Saul didn't want to deal with it. And so someone else has got to deal with it. Think about it. It's a fact. You like it or not, it's a fact. It's exactly what happened with David. The Philistines kept coming into Israel and killing people and pillaging villages, raping women and taking out the eyes of the men and using them for slaves. And it went on and on and on under the kingship of Saul. God is going to turn that around. He's going to bring a guy who's a giant killer to the throne. But before that happens, God is going to prepare this man in the wilderness. Why? Because God often leads us into the wilderness of life, so to speak, to prepare us for some wonderful thing in life. We don't like to hear that, but it's true. You look at the people who have had great hardships in life, people who have been very successful, and you hear their story, and it's amazing. See, we want their money, we want their power, we want their position, but when they tell the story that they were abandoned on a doorstep, they went from foster home to foster home, they barely ever made ends meet, they started working when they were 8 years old on the streets of Chicago, they put everything together, and they wound up creating things like the New York Times or great corporations. Because you know what? They could not be stopped. They learned in the difficult places to persevere. And it builds guts. It builds a heart. And this is an important thing. And our nation tonight is in a very interesting place. See, people in this age of ours, they don't want to talk about war because they think that no good can come out of war. First of all, war is horrible, and it's a byproduct of a fallen world. We all agree on that. But God is going to be calling David to war. How do you handle that? Did you know that the Bible, because men's hearts are evil, God sanctions war in the Bible? He doesn't want war, but he knows that men's hearts are wicked and they'll go to war. So what does God do? God takes that which the enemy has meant for evil, Satan, and he turns it around and makes it for good. And there is not one nation on the face of the earth, including the United States, that has ever been born without what? War. Isn't it weird? The Bible says that God takes down nations and raises them up and creates them. And he does that if we look through history by war. It's weird. See, we need to get our thinking in line with what God says about human conduct and the world as revealed in Scripture. There is battles. And David is a perfect example of us as the believer. He's got physical battles to fight, and he's got spiritual battles to fight. He's in it for the long haul, so to speak. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 8 says that there's a time to love and a time to hate. There's a time for war and there's a time for peace. We're living in the days, I personally believe, like 1 John 4:3 says, that every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that is God revealed in the flesh, is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and even now is already in the world. And if you know prophecy, and we can't go that way tonight, but the Bible says toward the last days of human existence as we know it, that there will be a great cry for peace, and it will be one that the Antichrist, a man that will arise to govern the world, he'll ride that wave of a cry for peace. And isn't that the biggest cry that we have? Yes, everybody wants peace, but nobody wants the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. There will be no peace until Jesus returns. But the Bible explains and teaches us that there'll be wars and even names some of those countries. God says that there's a time for war and he's preparing his soldier. Physical war, yes. Spiritual war, always. I personally believe, as the book of Daniel teaches, that there are spiritual powers, invisible powers, that are driving the physical realm. And so we know that there's always going to be battles. There must be battles. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, we as Christians do not wrestle against flesh and blood, Sometimes that's easier to wrestle against flesh and blood. But against principalities, against powers, and against rulers in the dark age, those are demonic powers, invisible to our eyes. Spiritual hosts of wickedness that reside in heavenly or angelic places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. You get that from the Bible. Putting the breastplate of righteousness on. You get that from the Bible. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. That is a reference to Satan. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer. That's the Christian soldier. I told you many times before, I can never read that verse in Ephesians without getting a mental picture in my mind of the bride of Christ. She is amazing. The church is called the bride of Christ, but then you read Ephesians and she's a soldier, and you know where I'm going with this. She's so cute. She really is. The bride of Christ, the church, the Bible refers to, but she's a soldier. She's got a veil on, but she's got a helmet. She's got a veil on, then she puts her helmet on. Okay, she's got a gown. She wears a gown, but man, on her hips, she's got a belt of truth. And she's got a bouquet in one hand, and she's got a sword in the other. She's quite a chick. She's the bride of Christ. It all depends on how you look at her. Jesus looks at her, and he says, man, with an everlasting love, I've loved you. And if the enemy were to look at her, she is absolutely suited for warfare. The church. It's an amazing thing. Well, spiritual boot camp. We are all in. The Lord prepares us for war. How so? This way as well. There will be internal struggles. Look at verse 3. But David's men said to him, these are the 400 guys, remember? They're all broke and they have nobody and nothing. We learned about them in chapter 22. They said, look, we are afraid in Judah. That's hilarious. That's like saying, excuse me, wait a minute. You want us to go to war? We are petrified in Chino Hills. If we got to Baghdad, we would just freak. That's what they're saying. We're scared in Judah. We're scared in our own homes. You want us to go to war? How much more than if we go to Calah against the armies of the Philistines? David, what are you thinking? These are his men. Remember in chapter 22, it says that they came to him and he became captain over them? Well, I'm glad that he did become captain over them because he didn't listen to one word they said. He blew them off.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in a lesson called When the Lord is in the Lead. It's a look at 1 Samuel chapter 23 and part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse journey through this fascinating Old Testament narrative. And we'll continue with more of When the Lord is in the Lead on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. And remember now, this broadcast outreach of Real Radio is just part of a bigger ministry. You can hear, watch, and read messages by Pastor Jack as well. We have television programs, topical studies, commentaries, devotionals, podcasts if you'd like, and you can have it all at your fingertips with the smartphone app called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Real Life with Jack Hibbs, of course, happens to be the same name as our television program, and all you have to do is go to your app store and download it for free. This one-stop shop features Words to the Wise. That, of course, is Pastor Jack's devotional, which you can get in your email box. Our Real Radio podcasts are available, topical lessons from Scripture, verse-by-verse studies, and, of course, our Monday night TV program that bears that same title as the app itself, Real Life with Jack Hibbs. I've got it on my smartphone, and it sure makes things easy to follow. It really does. Just go to your app store for Real Life with Jack Hibbs, the free app for your smartphone or your tablet. Of course, to learn more, you can always visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And our telephone number, should you need it, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. realradio.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.